Okay, we continue in the Sefer Bilvavi, Volume 2, we're on page Yud Beis, right at the top of the page. The Tzaddik so far has been telling us that our work, that we have to work on, as Chavrakuk says, is Tzaddik b'emunas chayichya. A Tzaddik lives with his emunah. We explained this is something that needs constant work on. It's not something you get and then you move on. Rather, it's something that needs to be constantly worked on, as Rabbi Cheskel Levenstein said, that if for a minute he would forget about that idea, he could fall great levels. So, this is the second most concealed thing in the world, after Hashem being the first concealed thing in the world. They thought that people think they already have emunah, and it's locked up in their pocket. And that's the second concealed thing. So now we move on to start working on this idea of emuna. So the subcategory is called Chilas Ha'avoda. The beginning of a Jewish person's service is emuna bechush. Emuna bechush. Emuna that you can feel. Naskul Nasus Lavar Mai Emuna Pshuta Shekol Yelad Makir. Let Yud Beis. Let's begin and try to explain what is the simple emuna that every child recognizes. Shekol echad meitanu yodea, that each and every one of us knows. Umayu emuna shaleh tzarech adam lavod kol yimei chayav. And what is the emuna, in contrast to that, what is the emuna that every Jew needs to work on all his life? Because the emuna that the little child has, and the emuna that most of us have, is an emunah that we don't think we need to work on our entire lives. So, b'oven klali yesh b'adam yedios v'chush shal tfisas mitzvah shal havaya v'nevaris ha-dvarim kipshutam. In general, a person has understandings and senses of understanding reality. Let's explain it in a simple way. L'dugma, for example. Adam yodea shechamesh va'od shmona shava shloshesre. Person knows that 5 plus 8 equals 13. What kind of knowledge is that? Zohi yodea shebiyosa yelet katan hu lo yoda. This was knowledge that when he was a little child, he didn't know such idea of addition, and that 5 plus 8 equals 13. Limdo, so we taught him this. Ve'ata baruch Hashem yodea, so now he knows it. It's a piece of information. 5 plus 8 equals 13. Good. That's one type of information. Lumasos, in contrast to that, Adam yeshnam yad v'regel. A person has a hand and a foot. Hu yodea sheyesh lo yad? Does he know that he has a hand? Hu yodea, he knows. But let's compare the knowledge of one's knowing of one's hand to 5 plus 8 equals 13. Aval yodea sheyesh yad hu hanakuda hachitzonis. The knowledge that he has a hand, that is an external point, as it were. I mean, it's the secondary point. Reishis, the first thing is, we've not called before anything, yesh lo yad, he has a hand, v'zoi etzem ha-metzias, that is the actual reality. V'chosh es etzem ha-metzias, he feels that reality. U'mikan v'eilech, im yeshlo harehu yodea shlishiyad, and from that point on, if he's got it, he knows that he has a hand. So really, let's say for a little child, first there's a metzias, there's a feeling of the hand, and then as he grows up, he understands what it means to have a hand. Rachmanel tzlam mishein lo yad vadi yodea mikan shein lo mikav shein lo. God forbid, if someone doesn't have a hand, he certainly knows that he doesn't have one. Okay, so what's he trying to say? Klomer. So he's trying to say like this. Yeshem shnei chalakim zeh. There's two ways of this understanding coming into being. Reishis kol kayim ba'adam hachush ba'mitas hametzius. So this kind of person, the first thing is, there exists within him a feeling, a true feeling of reality, that we feel and that we sense that reality, that you know you have a hand. It does not have to be explained to you. It's not a new piece of information that's coming to you. That's just raw information. You look at your hand. You see your hand. You know you have a hand, or you know you got something. You can feel it. Now on top of that, we have an intellectual awareness that you have a hand, right? So that there's something that you sense and and feel, and then it gets into your brain bank as a useful thing to have. Right? No one had explained to you you've got a hand. The kid didn't know what 5 is, didn't know what 8 is. He had to learn his numbers. He had to learn counting. He finally knows the concept of a 5. There's the concept of an 8. And then it comes out to be 13. So very nice. It's a useful piece of information. He doesn't necessarily feel it, touch it. But he knows. He knows there's this piece of information. On the other hand, you have other things, like your hand, that no one has to explain anything to you. But how do you know you have a hand? How do you know you have it? It's part of you. It's part of you. It's a reality that you can't deny. Now that there is this reality, so now on top of that, it gets into your brain. You know what? I've got a hand. Maybe I can figure out what to do with it. But a little baby knows about his hand before he knows what a hand is. Right? He starts playing with his hand, and then there comes that day when he realizes that hand is part of his body. You know, there's a certain period of time he just sees this hand, but he says, what's it doing here? Kid discovers his hand. You know, first, you know, there's this hand, but he doesn't understand what that means. He doesn't know it's his hand. It's a hand. And then there comes that great day where the kid realizes that hand, that thing I've been touching with is mine, and I can do things with this, and I have control over this. Now he can do something with the hand. Okay, where is this taking us? So, Baruch Hashem, kol echad meitanu zeichah v'yodea es hayadia ki yesh borei le'olam. Baruch Hashem, each one of us has merited, and we know, the intellectual knowledge that there is a creator. Ata nisbanina b'moshel shavanu. Let's continue to use our analogies. V'nasa liras ma mahusam shel yodea zu. Now let's try to figure out what is the actual reality of this knowledge. What is the essence of this knowledge? In what category do we put in this information, this knowledge that there is a God? Okay, 5 plus 8 equals 13 is one type of knowledge. The fact that I have a hand is a different piece of knowledge. Only two ways of having knowledge in this world. Either someone informs you of the knowledge, or you're totally feeling and sensing that knowledge. Right? So now the fact that there is a God, what kind of knowledge is that? How do you know that there is a God? Is this the knowledge of 5 plus 8 equals 13? And just like there's a useful piece of information that 5 plus 8 equals 13, there's a useful piece of information to know that there's a God in this world. Okay? Or do we know that there's Hashem just as much as we know we have a hand or a foot? Okay? How aware are you of the reality of God? Are you aware of Him as much as you have a hand and a foot? I mean, is there any moment in the day where you don't think you have a hand and you operate as if you don't have a hand? You need to write a note. Do you say, how am I going to write that note? I have no idea how I'm going to write this note. Now, a person who had no hands, definitely be a challenge. Definitely be a chance. You start thinking, how am I going to write a note? But when you see something in front of you and you need to write something, you don't start wondering, how am I going to write this note? There's no shaila how you're going to write this note, because you got a hand, for goodness sake. Right? You're so clear that you have a hand. There's no doubt. And everything you do during the day is based with that intimate, total awareness and reality that you have a hand. Right? It's not a useful piece of information. It's what reality is, and you are so clear that that is reality. If somebody throws a ball to your face, you don't start wondering, how am I going to protect my face? You're going to say, I've got a hand, and I use it, and you use it instantly. You don't even have to go through a long discussion. Automatically, your hand is there, because you know that's what it's there for. The awareness of your hand is so indelibly imprinted in your brain, you automatically respond based on the fact that there is the knowledge that you have a hand. Right? Well, 5 plus 8 equals 13 is a nice piece of information, but I can go through a whole day without accessing that information. I go through a whole day. Now I may ask you, hey, did you know that 5 plus 8 equals 13? Yep. Okay, how did that change your life? Well, the last time I had to buy 5 apples and 8 oranges, it had an impact on my life. And I had to know how much I had to pay for it. You know, I bought 5 bagels and 8 bagels. So I had to figure out how much I got to pay. So I had to know that there were 13 bagels. So I now know I had a baker's dozen. Right? But you could live your life for a long time without ever reaccessing that information of 5 plus 8 equals 13. Right? Now, we're not going to deny the fact the person knows both pieces of information. 5 plus 8 equals 13 and he has a hand. But which one does he live in the reality of? Okay, you understand the difference. So now we talk about Hashem. We talk about this idea of believing that there is Hashem. We know that there is Hashem. So how, in what category is this knowing Hashem fall into? Haim zu yediyah. Is this the same information as 5 plus 8 equals 13? And so, you know, if somebody asks you, is there a God? You'll say, oh, yeah, yes. What's 5 plus 8? 13. Is there a God? Yes. Okay. But what if the Yetzer Hara throws a very dangerous situation right in front of your face? What's your first reaction? What's your first reaction? What if somebody has the chutzpah and the audacity to cut in front of you in line at Sobeys on Erev Pesach when time is a premium? What's your first reaction? What's your first reaction? Screaming and yelling at him, getting upset, getting angry, right? That's the first reaction. If that's your first reaction, then you don't know that there's a God in this world. Or better yet, you know, but it's not, you don't know it like you have your hand, because then the first reaction will be based on the fact of your intimate awareness that there's a God in this world. You know, now the fact that many of us don't react that way means that it's just useful knowledge that there's God. Okay. So is this, you know there's Hashem, just like you know there's a hand or a foot. It's so clear to you. It's just, here's my hand, there's the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's no difference. Right? That's what we're talking about, emunah b'chush. You feel the belief, not you know the belief. You mamish feel it. It is as real as anything that you think is real in this world. Hasaba Menavardik, Rabbi Yoizel, the altar from Navardik, the yeshiva Navardik, Chiber Sefer B'Shem Madregas Ha'odom. He wrote a sefer called Madregas Ha'odom. Ubo Mavarba Richas Kiyeshin Yediyah Shalom Metzias V'Yesh Nechush Shalom Metzias. He explains in great detail that there is a type of knowledge of reality, and then there's a sensing of reality. And that's two different worlds, knowing and sensing. The knowledge of the intellect is a wondrous thing. No question about it. What you intellectual know is great. It's very precious. Amerchek Rav Biyoser, but between that and that understanding of reality, there's still a great distance. Why? Because Adam Eina Mesugal Lishkach Sheshi Yadayim Sheshi Raglayim Oshir Rov Shomeh. No one is ever liable to forget he has hands, feet, or he can see or he can hear. Elu Dvarim Shuchasho Sam Kol Rega Rega. These are things he senses every moment. But information that one doesn't sense, it's a great thing to have, but you don't necessarily can access it so quickly. Zohi, we're on Yud Gimel, the third line. Zohi ha-hagdoro ha-miti shel emuna. This is the true definition of emuna. This is the true definition of belief in Hashem. Amitas himotso yisbarach hi ha-metzius ha-mitis piyosish yeshno. The true reality of God is the truest reality that exists in this world. He's more real than anything in the world. And everything else is only something that he created. What's more real, your hand or God? Your hand is only as real as God allows it to be. And at a moment, God can make it disappear. Its reality is as tenuous as God's will for it to continue to exist. While God's reality doesn't depend on anything. Right? If you have a migraine headache, does it feel real? Is it real or is it imagined? It's real, yeah? Is it, what's more real, a migraine headache or Hashem who gave it to you? That migraine headache will go away, Mr. Hashem. Will Hashem ever go away? Raka Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hino Kadmon, only Hashem, He is the first. Ha Yehovah was, is, and will always be. V'kulanu kan Ivraim, and all of us are just created. Nimtza shamitzias hamitis hamuchletas hakayemes yakodesh baruch hu betzem. It comes out the truest, most certain reality that remains forever is essentially Hashem. V'tamtzio shalanu himishis. And our reality is only secondary. Mishadeshes, it's new. V'manachnu me'avchimes atzmeinu kemitzias. And if we choose to consider that, and we're certain of our reality. Do you exist? Yes. You sure exist? Absolutely. Any doubts you exist? No. 100% I exist. How do you know you exist? What do you mean? I'm a scientist. I've measured that I exist. A hand, feet. I exist. Scientific, empirical evidence that I exist. Well, if you believe you exist, alachas kama kama shaleinu lochush es harbanu shalom kemitzias. We need to feel the reality of Hashem. Ki alohu mitzios yoser kedum of yoser mitzis b'yitanu. Because His reality is much longer than our reality. It's much truer than our reality. So, emuna b'chush. This is this sense. You feeling the belief that there's Hashem. They tell a story from Rabbi Nachman, who once asked the Jew, Jew's running in the street. He says, where are you running to? What are you in such a rush for? This guy says, listen, I'm running after my parnasa. Running after my parnasa. Can you imagine if Rabbi Nachman was in a shul as they're just finished Shmon Esrei, and the guy's taking off his tefillin, he's rushing out. And Rabbi Nachman would ask him, what are you running for? What are you running for? He says, I'm running for my parnasa. Okay, so Rabbi Nachman says, before, just one second, can you tell me, what do you see in the street right now? Describe to me what you see in the street. I see Rabbi Moshe over there with his wagon. I see Yankel over there feeding the chickens. So he describes him what he sees. So Rabbi Nachman says, listen, 70 years from now, there's going to be no Moshe over there. Ain't going to be no wagon over there. Ain't gonna be no Yankala. Ain't gonna be no chickens. Okay. When are you gonna start davening? He told the guy. It was the guy who never davened, you know, because he was busy working. He says, when are you gonna start davening? What was the point of Rabbi Nachman? You know, are you giving up your whole life for a metzias, for a reality that isn't real? That isn't permanent? As a metzias, as a reality of Hashem is the only real thing. Yeah, you're rushing to work. So what's the work already? What's the work already? A couple extra bucks? You know, it's going to help you buy your house. It's going to help you, again, I'm not saying you don't go to work, Chas v'Shalom. I'm not saying that. But when the work is at the expense of Avodas Hashem, then we have real problems. Okay, now there's a way to put work in the context of Avodas Hashem. They're not mutually exclusive ideas. I don't think Rabbi Nachman suggested that the guy shouldn't work, but he said, if your working is so real to you that you can't even daven, then you have major problems. You know, now, then it's a major problem. So, the question is, what's the only real thing that there is? The only real thing is Hashem, serving Hashem, getting close to Hashem. That's real. Everything else, you know, it's here today, gone tomorrow. So, now, the only way a person can live, you know, the only way a person can make the right choice is if it's real. If it's not real, then, you know, it's a big problem. It's a big problem. You know, the thing is, we think our boss at work is more real than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, you get these shilas during this time of year. You know, can I take a shave or not? I have an important client that I'm seeing. So, okay, there's a halachic answer and there's a hashkafic answer. The answers are different. You know, I have a number of these. Every year I get these calls. That never stops. Baruch Hashem, people are asking. Okay. The guy says, you know, I'm gonna see a client I haven't seen in years, and last time I saw him I wasn't religious, now I am religious, and you know, it's very important the way you look and present yourself will depend on if you're gonna get the, job or not. Do you believe that there's a God? Absolutely. Okay. Do you believe that God tells us, you know, there's a concept of, do you believe that God tells us we should listen to everything the rabbis tell us? Absolutely. Right? Believe that the rabbis told us not to shave during Sefirah? Absolutely. Believe there's a good reason? Probably. Okay. So now, if God would want you to do something, is it for your benefit or not for your benefit? I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to be a Jew, you know. I guess it's a control thing that he has. And if he tells us to jump, we jump. So now that makes him God. Yeah, okay, you know. So maybe he'll. Yeah, so now this boss, you know, what this guy you're gonna meet. So what's gonna happen if you don't shave? I could not get the job. I cannot get the job. Where and what job are you getting? Well, I'll be able to order stuff for him. Who gave you the ability to make the order? What do you mean? I have that myself. Really? What about the other guy, your friend who's in the grave already? Your age, who had a heart attack. How come he doesn't have the ability? Well, I guess God took the ability away. Oh. So, like, I mean, how, you know, what's going to keep you alive? The Parnassah or the creator of the Parnassah? So, you know, so now what's the difference? Listen, don't, Rabbi, tell me anything about God right now. I have to make a living. Like, stop being frum. Okay? Stop being so religious, for goodness sake. It's easy for you, Rabbi, because you don't lose any business by keeping your beard. That's part of your job. Isn't it really? It's not part of your job? Don't you have a bigger boss you have to pay to, that pays you? Right? So it's like, so now, if you're going to look from a halachic point of view, okay, the halacha says if people don't have emuna and the threat of parnasa can incapacitate them, there are people who don't have emuna. B'chush. Of course, every one of these people believe there's a God. If they didn't believe there was a God, they wouldn't ask me a shiloh. Right? But he knows there's a God. It's 5 + 8 = 13. That's to the extent that he knows that there's a God. But it's not really real. You know, God doesn't make a difference right now. Because he's not here now. He's up there. He's over there. Here we have a different world. Right? So what's going to make the difference of me living if I'll take a shave and I'll make the effort? So if a God, if you can't I've always said, you can't legislate bitachon. If we're going to, the halacha is you shouldn't shave. If a person doesn't have bitachon, and if he doesn't shave, he will literally fall to pieces. He'll literally fall to pieces. The lorazepam won't be enough for him. And he'll go into a psycho ward, because the pressure of being able to say, to live as a Jew in front of a goy is so extreme, he will literally fall apart. Okay, you know, shmartem es nafsho seichem ma'ot, you know. The guy's going to go into the loony bin. We can't force him to not take a shave if he'll get a heart attack from it. Nebuch will give you a leniency. Nebuch, your little 5-year-old knowledge of Hashem. Can you make is a 5-year-old obligated to keep Sefira? No. He doesn't understand. So Nebuch, the adult, doesn't understand either. Okay, so there's a leniency. You see, Chazal were very lenient for Parnassah because they understand that people cannot live if they don't have any parnasa. You know, if a middle-aged person is laid off and has no work, he goes into major depression. An 18-year-old gets laid off. What does he care? I'll go to Europe for a year. My parents will pay for it. The guy is 50 years old. He's laid off. He's got a mortgage. He's got this. He's got kids. He has to send to Beis Yaakov. He's got all these things. He's got to make shidduchim. He doesn't have it. The guy goes into major depression and will even try to commit suicide. All because he didn't let him take a shave on Chol HaMoed. Okay, the halacha recognizes there are weak people, and we can't kill a person in for this amount. What's the line? Okay, I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get into that right now. But so okay. But in terms of hashkafa, from hashkafa point of view, absolutely you shouldn't take a shave. You think you're going to make a penny less if you're going to take a shave or not? Right? Now, if you feel that there's a God, you understand God's right over here. And God's the one who's dishing out. It's not the boss who's giving you the check. God's giving you the check. He's just using the boss as the shliach. So either it could, and it could vary. And a lot of people want this guarantee. Okay, Rabbi, if I take a shave, will you guarantee? If I don't shave, will you guarantee my parnasa? I say no. I can guarantee you one thing: that either Hashem is going to give you more, or give you less this year, but it's not your boss. And you should know quite often. That, you know what, it's designed for you to make less money this year, believe it or not. Really? Maybe? But if you're going to shave and get the business, you'll make $5,000 extra, and then someone else will steal a different client, and you'll lose $10,000. So guess what, you could do it that way, or you could not shave, not get the extra $5,000, and God won't send someone to steal the other client. Either way, you're meant to lose $5,000 this year. You can't avoid how much parnassah you're getting. The only thing you're in control is, can you listen to what Hashem says? That's all. You've either lost the money or made the money. That's guaranteed before you started the whole discussion. The question is, are you going to follow the Torah in making or losing the money? That's all. Now, generally speaking, if you listen to Hashem, things go better with Parnosa. Generally. But there's other factors. Remember, if someone's about tshuva after many years, he's racked up a lot of averus. And he hasn't really done as much tshuva as he thinks he should. Right, that's one thing the Baal Tshuva doesn't get. It takes a long time for them to get it. And not even the Baal Tshuva, the Frum from birth doesn't get it either. They do an aver, they think you just clap an alchet on Yom Kippur, everything's fine. You just keep doing the aver afterwards, right? Baal Tshuva has many averis of kareis, some averis this and that, you know, and many of those averis, as we know, only get corrected from with yisurim, with suffering. After you're doing tshuva, then the suffering will cleanse it. If you don't do tshuva, the suffering won't even cleanse it. So could be, you know, you did tshuva. How come now that I'm about tshuva, I'm doing worse in business? Baruch Hashem, you're getting a kapara now. If you wouldn't have been about tshuva, you'd have no olam haba, there'd be no existence to you. Now, Hashem's trying to get you an olam haba badly, so he's going to have to give you some pain. So Nebuch, really what he should do is kill you. And that would be the kapara. But that's, you know, but you haven't learned enough Torah for him to kill you now. He's got to let you live another 40 years. So instead he'll give you pain, little bits of pain for over 40 years. It'll be like he killed you. You lose a client here, you lose a client there. You won't be able to take your trips to Aruba anymore. Mamish, for some of us, Mamish killing us. Can you imagine not going on vacation for a year? It's Mamish, I'll die. Not go to Disneyland this year? Not go to my cottage up north. I'm finished. I'm dead. I can't shleben. So that's Hashem. So thank God. Because he's all trying to make a kapara. He's trying to work out a kapara for you. But how can he make a kapara for you if you keep on not following his Torah because you have a challenge from somebody? So that's a question. So who's more real, you or God? And the truth of the matter is, if you ask the guy, you know, if you sit him down and you talk about it, okay, you know, and you go through the Rambam, you go through all his proofs. Okay, I guess intellectually he's more real than me. But right now, you know, what I think is more important anyway. And you go ahead. Because you don't feel that he's more real than you. Right? Next paragraph. Kesha amuna tielo rak besichla, when your amuna is only in your brain, or velorak beliba shalotam binakuda shalisaurus islavas, and even if it's only in your heart, to the point of excitement and arousal, you know, a lot of us think that when it's a good niggun during Kedusha, that you're mamish close to Hashem. Could be, and could be you're fooling yourself. Could be you're just close to the niggun. You know, it could be you're just close to the niggun, and you think you're having an amazing spiritual excitement. You know, and even if you have a brief excitement, and maybe even if it is a spiritual moment, right? But if your emuna is either intellectual or an emotional emuna, right? But it's got to be beyond that. It's got to be beyond that. Okay, you know, intellectual. Let's say, you know, well, you know, it's my belief in Hashem is as much as 8 + 5 = 13, or because maybe my parents told me there's a God. So you know what? When the emuna is only in the mind, guess what? Your mind will do wonders to accommodate your tivus, to accommodate your lusts. You know, your mind says there's a God, your lust says do this avera. And what's stronger, the mind or the lust? 9 out of 10 times, it's the lust is stronger than the mind, and will come up with all kinds of rationalizations to permit what you're doing. Right? Talking lashon hara. The mind says there's a God that says you shouldn't speak lashon hara. Your body says that guy hurt me and I have to get him back. Now which one's going to win? So of course you're not a Rasha. You know the Chavetz Chaim says there's certain times you're allowed to. You remember vaguely there's certain times you're allowed to speak lashon hara. You forget that there's 7 conditions to it. But you know as they say it meg minyah, you can. And certainly this situation is the one. You know why? Because it hurts me so badly. It has to be a situation where you can speak lashon hara. And especially if it's about the rabbi, then it's mamish a mitzvah d'oraisa to speak lashon hara, because the kehila has to be saved from such a person who's fooling us all. And of course, people have to hear it too. Then it becomes a bigger mitzvah to hear it, right? Especially when they have to negotiate his contract. It's even better, right? Right. So then, you know, the mind is imminently capable of doing the biggest averis in the world. The biggest averis in the world. You know, if your knowledge of God is just 8 + 5 = 13, because how strong is that knowledge? Right? To overcome the Yetzirah, just intellectual knowledge is not enough. You need to feel Hashem. There's only one thing the Yetzirah can, is more powerful than anything in this world. Except one thing, the chush of the Metzias Hashem, if you feel there is a God. That's the only thing the Yetzirah can't beat. If you feel there's a God like you have a hand, if you mamish know that Hashem is your hand, if you know that tongue that's going to speak that Lashon Hara, or that hand that's going to do that Avera, is from Hashem, and Hashem, and it's so real. You see Hashem is putting the energy into the hand right now. Or you sense that. Right? So if you have that emunah b'chush, then you don't want to sin. You don't want to sin. Because you know, you feel there's a Hashem in this world. You know, how much, somebody says, listen, your stove is giving you all, is acting up on you. Your 20-year-old stove is acting up on you. You know, it's, the burner on top is up, it's, it goes, turns on, turns off, it's giving you problems. You're so upset at that burner, you know what you're gonna do? You're gonna punch it. While it's on. Burner, you burnt my kugel. You burnt my, and that was dinner for tonight. I'm so angry at you. You ain't going to do it because you see the red coil. For goodness sake, there's a red coil there. You going to touch a red coil? No matter how angry you are at that red coil? It's burning. You going to burn your hand? If you do, there's something wrong with your brain. There's names for people who do that. They're not part of this normal world. Eh? You're talking lashon hara, you're gonna burn in hell, man. You're gonna burn in hell. Now, is that hell as hot as this stove? You know, if you really feel there's a Rabbeinu Shalom, you know there's mamish a Rabbeinu Shalom. You feel that reality. Right? Right? Now you know smoking will give you cancer. You know it. Right? But you still will smoke. Unless when you're smoking, the cancer agents already cut off your esophagus. At the moment you smoke, then maybe you won't. Right? So that's the point. He's saying, you know, just intellectual understanding and emotional understanding. No. Yatmuna can't be that way. Elati hafach lehavias mitzias. It has to become part of one's sense of self. If it becomes part of your sense of self, then us yada nemana kitzoidu b'derech hanachon v'Hashem, then you know for sure you're going in the right direction in service of Hashem. Everything else, remember, putting on tefillin, all the mitzvahs you do, if you don't have the awareness of God as much as it's your hand, then all those mitzvahs have been shortchanged incredibly. And that's why getting up for morning doesn't do anything for you. And that's why learning Rambam doesn't do anything for you. And that's why almost all your Avodas Hashem doesn't do anything for you. Because you're missing this point. If you got this point, then you're starting in the right direction. Umikan ve'elach. Once you have it, yikabo mabet shona al kol Avodas Hashem shelo. You receive a new perspective on all your service of Hashem. Right? That's what Baal Shem Tov says. Baal Shem Tov says, what's the difference between two Jews? Two Jews, they both do the same thing. They both go to shul. They both do this. The only difference is in their level of amunah. That's, at the end of the day, what separates Jew. What's a better Jew than another Jew? Who has the real amunah that he feels and who's the one who doesn't? Because then, you know, the guy who mamish feels Hashem, when he puts on his talis in the morning, something's happening. Something's really happening. The guy who doesn't, who just knows it's 5 plus 8 equals 13, he puts his talis on like a monkey. You know, we're not thinking, just put it on. Just going through this robotic activities that does nothing for you. And what does putting on a talus do for you? It's just a pain in the neck, especially in the summer. Who needs it? And what is it doing for you? You're like a monkey. You're just doing it. If your mamish feel like Kaddish Baruch Hu, then you're thinking, well, what am I putting the talus on for goodness sake? Somehow this is getting me close to Kaddish Baruch Hu. This is the Ratzon of Hashem. I'm feeling close to Hashem. Then it's doing something for you. That's the whole difference. Okay, let's continue. Hakashim, let's just check it to the bottom of the page, please. Hakashim shenakir bavoda. What? Hakshi, okay, same thing. Hakshim shenakir bavoda, the difficulties that one recognizes with this new perspective. Eina hakshim shahayu us. They're not the difficulties that were then. In other words, every step of Avodas Hashem, you know, there are difficulties in terms of, you know, moving ahead. So the challenges of the person with Amuna B'chush are not the same challenges as they are for the person without the Amuna B'chush. Zehu Olam Shona L'chalutin. It's a different world. Shorash HaKshiyim, Shorash HaMerchak Shalonu Me'avoda Amiti Seskarv L'vo Hashem, Novo Mikach Shemuna Shehamuna ota anu makir mialdus yamuna shel yidia velo. It's a long sentence. Sorry. Velo amuna chushim sharam chashu makish brunshom vatsias gemura. Okay. In other words, the source of the problems of the person who has the childish emuna, right? The root of the distance, sharish amerchak shalom. The root of the distance we have, mavoda mitis eskarav lebarishamel. The distance we have to serving Hashem properly, right? And that's, for those who don't have the emunah b'chush, those who have the childish emunah, noveh mikach, that comes, it flows from shemuna osa anu makir mialdus. It comes from the emunah we have as children. He emunah shel yidiyah, it's only emunah of yidiyah, it's because our parents told us. Lo emunah chushis, it's not one that we feel, sharam chashu makir, that you recognize, sharam b'nishlam hu metzias gemurah, that Hashem is the real metzias. Kamo sharam atzah hu metzias gemurah, just like a person himself is real. So, in other words, there's different challenges to the person who just knows that there's Hashem, doesn't feel it. Those challenges, you know, are low-level challenges. And those are the challenges that make Yiddishkeit miserable. And that's the person who thinks Yiddishkeit is hard. While the challenges of the person who can sense Hashem is an altogether different level. Anybody who really knows what we're talking about over here knows I'm not saying anything new. Kavisha Marna, as we've said, Elohim Divra Sabam Navardik, Asher Karlam Amuna Bakush. These are the words of the altar from Navardik, who called it, he coined the term Amuna Bakush, Vuerich Rabos Lakarvis Adamakach, and he wrote extensively to bring people's awareness to that point. Hem Bebeis Medesh El Kelm, so it was in the Beis Medesh of Kelm, Vehem Bechatzis El Chassidus, so it is in the Chassidic courts. It's not Litvish Torah, it's not Misnagdish Torah, it's not Chassidish Torah. Every form of real Yidden. Successful Chassidim, successful Litvaks, successful German Jews. Doesn't matter what your flavor is. Right? Maybe your way of serving Hashem is with Simcha more than other ways. Your way of serving Hashem is more from learning Gemara. Yours is more from whatever. But doesn't matter. They all subscribe to this point. This is not like a chumrah. It's not a crazy, whacked out, maverick, Hasidish way of living life. That's not normal. You got any great Jew who ever put his foot on the planet and understood how to serve Hashem. Svardi, Ashkenazi. Nekuda Samuna hiya Nekuda Hamerkozis Bavodas Hashem. The point of Amuna is the central point in our service to Hashem. Without Amuna Bechush, you are in big trouble. Okay, let's turn the page. Yudalek, got two more minutes. Shinun HaNekuda Hapshuta. Let's review the point of this Nekuda Hapshuta, of this simple point. Imadvarim Nishmoim V'nirim L'Adam Kechadoshim. If what you're hearing today appears to be something brand new, that you never heard about this before, it just shows us that the HR did a good job of fooling us and hiding from our eyes this simple point. Ramchal already wrote in Mesil Shesharim, Shedvarim Elu, these things that he's going to talk about. Quote, Kifirov Pirsumam, to the degree that they're so well known, and to the extent that the truth is so revealed, no one can argue, no one's going to argue that there's not a God in this world. To the extent that they're so well known and so true, so too is the concealment of them so prevalent, and the forgetting of them is so great. That's the reality. Just like, you know, we'll end with this point, just like a relationship with someone very near and dear to us. To the degree that you know that your spouse is the most important person in your life, it's to that degree that you forget about it and take it for granted. The old idea of familiarity breeds a feeling of a lack of appreciation. Right? You know, you say certain things to your spouse you wouldn't say to a stranger even. Why are you saying that? That's the most important person. Yeah, I know it's the most important in my life. Right? You gonna argue? Who's the most important person in your life? My spouse. Okay, why didn't you call when you're going to be late? She could take it. I was with the guys. What are you talking about? She's the most important thing in your life. Yeah, I know it. The things that you know the most, you don't think you need to work on. You know, the most important thing, most important relationship in your life to work on is one with your spouse. Well, I'm too busy at work. Oh, man. You know, when was the last time you went out with your wife? Well, I don't know, 5 years ago. She's the most important person in your life? Yeah. How about your boss? I couldn't care less about him. How come you're with him more than with her? How come when he tells you to jump, you say, how high? When your wife has to take you to garbage, you hem and haw? Right? So if we have that with our own spouses, can you imagine how the relationship with Hashem is suffering? So to the degree that it's so obvious, it's to that degree, the Yetzer Hara says you don't got to work on it. And that's a big mistake. Okay.